morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone.
Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Sitting across from me is
Mike Cosentino, trying to understand this whole Sedona vacation rental thing, Airbnb thing. What's going on, Steve?
Well, in fact, we've got a guest here today, our mayor, Sandy Moriarty, who's going to talk to us about it. Mike, it's a national, almost international problem of regulating Airbnb and vacation by owner and these things. It's a national problem. It's a state problem. Any destination city for tourists is really having a problem with these. And
I think we assume that when we say this stuff, that a lot of people understand this already. We're going to explain that. But I'm going to be on the other side of this, because I know this realtor really well who says, hey, it's a tough time to make money. So we're going to kind of look at it from both sides, I think. If this is a way for people that don't have a lot of money to make money. At least we thought it was. What about that, Sandy?
What's happening, Mike, is, and Sandy will talk to us about it, is it's gone from, say, you know, Professor X having his wife's, you know, when they move in together and then renting out his wife's apartment. It's gone from that. I mean, I've done that. I use Airbnbs. It's gone from small scale guys renting out rooms and even houses and stuff. They say they're renting out their vacation home when they're not using it, or they have a little artist cottage or something. It's gone from that into this industry. And that's what we're going to be talking today. So Sandy, you're going to have to give us a lot of background, because people don't know. We're talking about short-term rentals, and we're talking really, it's about Airbnbs. And Sandy has this incredible, I don't know if you did it, but somebody did it, this presentation of Airbnb and vacation home short-term rentals, and pictures of cities and how many there are. Well, I mean, it's just astonishing.
The terms, the vacation rental, Vrbo, vacation rental by owner, and Airbnb.
Those are two companies. Usually when we're talking about these short-term rentals, we refer to them as Airbnbs.
Okay.
But that's not the only company involved.
Got it. No.
So, Sandy, what the hell is going on?
Well, it all started, really, with not only the explosion of short-term rentals, and I think Airbnb has become something like Kleenex.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
so
that's right.
For
Xerox.
Shorthand for saying short-term rentals. And short-term rentals are, at least the rules in Arizona, are around residential property short-term rentals. There are some that are on commercial property, but not very many. It's really, so Senate Bill 1350 was initiated by the governor back in 2016. The legislature agreed with him, and at that time, he said his idea was that he wanted to accommodate the sharing economy, which is what you've just been talking about.
Right.
The sharing economy.
That's what Mike is in favor of.
And the sharing economy can include things like Uber and other types of platforms. But this one is targeted specifically at vacation rentals, short-term rentals on residential property. So what 1350 said was, effective in January of 2017, it doesn't allow cities to prohibit or regulate short-term rentals.
And Sedona had been regulating short-term rentals.
Well, Sedona had prohibited
them.
And so,
why? Because people don't like them having new people coming in all the time, or why?
They're in residential property, is usually in, not all of it, but usually in neighborhoods. And our neighborhoods, I believe, to us, are important. They're where we live. They're what we think of as our community, really. They're what community is based on. And so people were understandably upset about a proliferation all of a sudden, and it happened fairly quickly. And you're right, it's a worldwide problem, and people are struggling worldwide to deal with it. And it's truly worldwide.
So how many houses in Sedona?
Well, Sandy? That's a good question. And so the city has hired a third-party vendor to try to tell us just how many there are and
How many houses are there? How many residences are there in Sedona?
Oh, households, I think it's around, now don't quote me on this, 6,600 or something like that.
Yeah, so it's about 6,000 homes, say. And how many Airbnbs? What's the estimate before you
It's about 10%, probably, a little over 10%. 600, between 600 and 700 is the number we're currently getting.
Yeah, that's the number we get from the Hotels Association.
From our vendor.
Yeah.
And so what they're doing is they're going in and scraping websites, you know, these Airbnb, VRBO, HomeAway. So the three big players, maybe the biggest players, are Airbnb, probably got about half the market.
Yeah.
HomeAway and VRBO, Vacation Rental by Owner, are both owned by Expedia. Which, as you know, is a travel company. And you'll see, if you notice on their ads on TV these days, it'll say, come to us for a hotel, a motel, or a vacation rental.
I saw that.
And they're promoting vacation rentals on their platform.
Yeah, I put through Expedia, and I saw that they were offering that.
Yes. And the newest development is probably that Marriott, which is the biggest hotel corporation in the world, is starting to get into the market also, because if they don't, they're going to lose market share. I think hotels are realizing finally, after a couple of years, that if they don't get into it themselves, they're going to lose market share.
It's a popular way to...
It is. You know, hotels aren't for everybody. Some people want to have more of a family space where they can cook and bring their dog or whatever. And
when this goes to the heart of it, too, I think I was talking to a man of means, and he said he's been doing this for 30 years. This was when he and his wife traveled, they always stayed in Airbnbs or some sort of... But he said he always tried to stay in vacation rentals by owner. He found in a short time, in his 30 years, that if they owned it, it was a much, much nicer place. And I think that's the experience people are looking for.
Well, none of those platforms, and we call them, incidentally, the state refers to them as online lodging marketplaces. That's a mouthful. You can abbreviate it as OLMs.
Okay.
But that's what they are. They're online lodging marketplaces. You can include probably property management companies, because several of the property management companies also handle vacation rentals.
When we first started using them, Sandy, they were usually run by individuals. You actually met the owner of the house, and they came and talked to you, and you could call them if you had a problem. And as the years went by, we saw more and more management companies and fewer actual owners to any of these
places. That's right. And one of the other things that used to happen is you'd trade houses with somebody for a month or something.
Yes,
remember that?
I did that.
So that you don't hear much about that anymore.
No.
But that was kind of part of the whole way it worked back then. But the governor is right. I agree with him that we do have to learn to deal with the sharing economy, because it's a new phenomena with the access to the internet of so many people worldwide that we do have to deal with it. The thing that's happened, however, in Arizona is that because the law says, because 1350 says, this is what we're saying you can't prohibit is short-term rentals on residential property. Doesn't speak to commercial at all. And so what that means is that most of these places are in residential neighborhoods. So people have the mistaken idea that, well, why don't they have to get a rezone to do it? Because it's a commercial venture in a residential area. But according to 1350, it isn't. We have to treat all residential property the same, whether it's long-term rental or short-term rental, even though they're very different. And there's no question that short-term rentals are businesses. Now, it does make a difference. It is a way for people to make extra money. If you decide, well, I've got an extra room in my house, an extra bedroom, I'm going to fix it up and I'm going to start listing it on Airbnb or VRBO or whatever. And that's one thing. But what we have seen, especially here in Sedona, and I'm sure in other places too, is that investors come in, buy up single-family homes, and turn them into vacation rentals, thinking they can make good money this way.
I was reading, I think it was in the Times, that this corporate ownership of what were private homes has gotten so extreme that the actual costs of homes to regular human beings who are trying to buy a house to live in has gone up.
It has definitely gone up in Sedona because of that. And but it's also driven up, it's also driven up the price of rent, because what's happening is people sell their home. It was a residence. It was a person's home. And now they're selling it, and the person buying it is not going to live there. They're going to rent it out short term. So whereas before, perhaps they would have rented it out long term. That's what some people did with their second homes that are becoming vacation rentals.
Right.
Now they're renting them out short term instead of renting them out long term.
The key term, and not to make a joke, is short term and long term, because we're talking about changing the very nature of what we consider in America a neighborhood.
Yes,
a neighborhood
that's
is a place where people stay a long time. You get to know your neighbors.
That's right.
You get to do stuff together, perhaps.
You know, and you rely on each other.
And you rely on each other. It's
you
a
borrow
community.
A tool. You have them feed your dog while you're gone. You have them water your plants while you're gone. Take in the mail. Whatever.
Exactly.
You know, we rely on each other. And this is, I believe, the biggest effect of 1350 in Sedona is we have lost long-term rentals. Now, it's going to also be interesting to see what the 2020 census tells us, because when you lose long-term rentals, you lose the population, the permanent.
So is that
they won't be counted.
Anecdotally, we've seen what I'm hearing from everybody is that we've lost long-term rentals.
That's what
and,
we have.
Like the guys I used to work with lived in rentals here that are no longer available as long-term rentals. I don't know. I think people have just been forced to move out of Sedona and down to Cottonwood or somewhere. And I think
we're talking service industry people.
Yeah, we're talking about people who are working in. What I did was drive Jeeps, and the thing is, if you live in Cottonwood, there's a big deficit. You have to make the tour, but you also, between tours, can't go home.
Right.
Or if you live in Sedona, you can go home. You can be at to pick up people in five minutes, you know.
Yeah.
And I think for the people in the service industry, this has been really a deficit. I think when Sedona, 20 years ago, most people who worked in Sedona lived in Sedona.
No, I don't think that's ever been the case.
Really?
We've always had an affordable housing problem here because land prices are much higher. Now, the rest of the Verde Valley and Flagstaff are definitely catching up somewhat. But the other factor to consider is that in Sedona, we have only about 4% of our housing stock that's apartments. So the service industry people couldn't find any place to live because there weren't any apartments. Statewide, it's probably 22% statewide of apartments. I think Cottonwood had way more than that. So naturally, they'd be inclined to live in Cottonwood or Lake Montezuma or Camp Verde and commute to Sedona. But if they did live in Sedona, they lived in a single-family residence that they shared with others were in the service industry.
Many friends that lived that way.
I know. Some people are all doubled up, and people are
so,
really, even things that never, ever show up on the market publicly because you know somebody who has a little house behind their house
right,
that they rent.
Right, a guest home, yes. But
So,
even so, it's not even just the service industry people. It's other people at work as you know, in other businesses and just can't, as employees, and can't afford to live.
To go a little bit to the economics of this, when you have a hotel, they pay taxes, right?
They do.
Yeah. And same way with an Airbnb.
Yes.
Those people are paying taxes. Are the people staying in these, bread and breakfast, are people in Airbnbs and these other things, are they paying taxes to Sedona?
They are now. And that's because when this first happened in 2016, when 1350 passed, the governor made a deal with Airbnb to collect and remit the sales tax under their license for the homeowners, because no online lodging marketplace owns the building, any of the buildings. They don't own anything. They're just the agent for renting them. So So he made a deal with Airbnb, specifically now Airbnb, that they would collect and remit the sales taxes, including bed taxes, which are in fact part of the sales tax. And so that was done, and it was done on a voluntary basis.
Now, what do you mean by voluntary basis? Because if you ask me if I want to pay taxes or not, Sandy, I'm going to say, well, I mean, I really like to, but I'd rather not.
Yes. Well, Airbnb, I think, well, who knows? That document that the contract he had with Airbnb was never a public document. To this day, I've never seen it. Most people haven't seen it. But it wasn't so much a case of...
And it's only with the one company,
it
Sandy.
Is. Well, that
or
was true. At the time, originally that was true. And he said, other online lodging marketplaces are welcome to come to the state and make the same sort of arrangement we've made with Airbnb.
And why would they do that? What's the motivation?
Well, it's frankly for their customers, for their homeowners that they deal with. This is part of the problem that all of a sudden we have a whole lot of people statewide and nationwide that are basically in business that really weren't maybe in business before. So to get what we call a TPT license, that's a sales tax license. Transaction privilege tax is what it stands for. That's what sales tax is in Arizona, TPT. So part of the law was you have to get, if you're going to rent out your property short term, you have to get a TPT license. I don't think most of them did. Some of them did, but certainly not all.
So you're not actually collecting taxes.
Well,
on
we
most
weren't.
Of these people.
We were not. But after this passed, so Airbnb, if they have half the market now, that means we're going to be getting everybody. The state, cities are all going to be getting more tax money. And so right after that first 2016 law, the very next legislative session, Sedona was instrumental in pushing the state to say, let's not make it voluntary, let's make it mandatory. They had the whole mechanism was already in place because it was being done voluntarily. So all they had to do was change it from voluntary to mandatory. And the easy part about that was it meant revenue for everybody. Now, who doesn't want revenue if you're a city or the state? You know, we were running in those days, often running deficits at the state level. Cities don't. We can't, but they could and were. So it was a better way to go about, more efficient way to go about collecting the tax. So we pushed that, and it did happen the next year. They said, we need until January 1st, 2019, to give us time to get ready to actually do this. So as of January 1st of this year, all online lodging marketplaces are required to collect and remit to the state sales tax.
And states put the money with cities and counties?
Well, they give us, we all now file through the state. We don't have the option. Some charter cities do, but general law cities and towns like Sedona do not. We have to now have our sales tax done, collected through the state. We don't have any option.
Okay,
so,
but you do
so they're
get,
doing it. We
Sedona
get,
does get money from
we,
this.
We get our tax dollars, and that's 3.5% now in Sedona. That's bed tax of 3.5% on top of the regular sales tax, which is also 3.5%. So that's 7% overall for Sedona. Then the state sales tax is also in there, so the state's always getting a piece.
Okay, we're 18 minutes into a show on vacation rentals. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Chapel neighborhood. The neighbor.
I'd actually rather talk about neighborhoods in general.
Okay.
Because this is happening literally.
Chapel neighborhood. There could be. There could be nothing happening there.
They're included. We'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
And we'll talk
later,
about. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk to somebody in the Chapel neighborhood next week.
We're negotiations now.
And I was at a meeting of Chapel homeowners yesterday. So
they're thrilled about what's happening.
They're not happy. I had had a realtor friend of mine call me in the last few weeks and say, I'm getting a lot of people in the Chapel area that want to sell their homes because there are too many vacation rentals in their neighborhood. And then they've got the actual chapel for which the area is named, which is a big tourist attraction, and lots of people coming to see it every day. So that's another issue, too. But in any case, what our third-party vendors showed us was that vacation rentals are all over the city. there are a lot.
It's pretty astonishing to look at the maps.
It is, and we can't do visuals on radio, unfortunately, but it does show us that. Now, some people think, well, neighborhood associations, homeowners associations can prevent this, and they do to some extent. The problem there is that homeowners associations can have a rule against having vacation rentals. If somebody violates that rule, what happens? The neighborhood association has to say, you can't do that. And in order to enforce it, they have to say, we'll take you to court. Now, how quickly do courts move? Not fast at all. So it's not a very effective way. Cities could say, you're in violation of our codes. We'll fine you and we can do something faster. So, but nevertheless, it has worked to some extent. When you look at those maps, you'll see some neighborhoods are more heavily impacted than others. There's no question about that.
In one of your presentations or that's being prepared, I saw Paradise Valley. The average place is $619 a night, mm-hmm. but there's hundreds of them. The map is just covered with these little dots
And Scottsdale as well.
I saw Scottsdale too.
It was
amazing.
Scottsdale and I think downtown Phoenix. They are really everywhere. Yeah. Now, okay, they're not in every city the way they are in Sedona because we're a tourist mecca. You know, that's our economic engine. That's our primary economic engine. So naturally there are more of them here. And because we can't regulate them, we're one of only a very few, I can't tell you exactly which states that can't regulate them. So if you're an investor looking for a vacation rental to invest in, where are you going to go? Somewhere where you know you're going to be regulated or somewhere where you're not?
I'm looking at minutes from a meeting last night. Mm-hmm. What am I looking at? This is just, it says, Monday, meeting on Sunday, July 7th, 2019, Chapel Area Unit 2 construction. And a couple of people had some really pointed questions about mm-hmm. parking and about whether the unit is owned by,
Let's explain that we've gone from Mike renting out a spare bedroom kind of situation to people building a building that's specifically for Airbnb. So in this case, in the Chapel neighborhood, they're building a building that has either 6 or 8 separate mm-hmm. apartments. Uh-huh.
Not exactly apartments. They're master suites with bathrooms.
Master suites with bathrooms. They have a bunk room up on top. And people in the Chapel are not happy about this because the owner of this particular place owns a couple of other lots there and could conceivably build 3 of these things in their neighborhood.
Well, intention is everything.
This would have real, Sedonians are always complaining, Mike.
But what's the intent of the guy who runs? Does he want to rent these out short term?
Here, yes, he does.
So that's short term.
They're
long-term.
Called luxury short term rental.
That's what he said. But unfortunately, because this is on residential property, commercial zoning doesn't apply. He doesn't have to get a rezone. People don't understand why. Why shouldn't he have to get a rezone to do this?
Yeah, in the American
answer is 1350. 1350 prohibits us from prohibiting.
So I bet people are giving you a hard time. Why aren't you doing something about this?
Absolutely. We get emails. We get phone calls. The community development department hears about it. I got kicked out of my long-term rental to turn it into a short-term rental. We get emails saying, I don't understand why the city is allowing this to happen. Right. Well, the city doesn't have any choice because the governor and the legislature have decided we can't do anything if it's on. It's ironic to me that we can't do anything because it's residential property instead
of
commercial.
What's astonishing is this is going to be a big place and it'll be completely unregulated, and the bed and breakfasts and the hotels, it's sort of unfair to that industry too. In any case, they can build these giant things. This is a change in level, Mike, from renting a spare room or your house when you don't need it or something to building structures specifically designed for short-term rentals. It's a very strange structure.
It's a business investment. This is what I've been saying for a long time. I've been working on this for 3 years. We managed to get the tax bill passed, and so that we should be getting at least most of the tax now. But But doing anything beyond that, so let's talk just a little bit about the bill that passed in this last legislative session, which modified 1350, and that was Senate Bill 2672, and it did a few things. It didn't do nearly enough. Now, we had another bill that was proposed, that was put on, brought to the floor, but it couldn't get passed. It couldn't even get a hearing in committee to try to get more regulation than what 2672 did. And 2672 started out with a whole lot of other things in it than what it ended up with. You know, the legislative bills are often kind of like the game of gossip, you know, where you start something at one end with 10 or 12 people in a row, and by the time it gets to the other end, it's completely different.
Who's the opposition? Why is there so much opposition? Who's paying for the opposition
That's a good question. I can't
answer that. Opposition to regulation. Okay.
Opposition to regulation of the short-term rental. I mean, what's the motivation? Who's doing this? Why aren't legislators more responsive? I mean, because they must be hearing. If you guys are
I wish I knew. Well, they're not hearing about it enough, and that's what we tell people. What you need to be doing is talking to your legislators and to the governor. Now, the legislature, all of it, and this was, I don't think I really realized this until I really became the mayor, but the legislature, every single member, Senate, House, run every 2 years. They all have two-year terms. It's not like the national level where the senators have six-year terms and the House have two-year terms. No one should have at the national level.
They represent exactly the same.
I mean, they're essentially running all the time. But in any case, at the state, they all run every 2 years. So we could change that, and that's what we... If they won't respond, that's what we need to do.
I kind of interrupted you about that, but I want you to go back. What you said that the bill started out with a lot of good things in it, and by the time it came out at the end of the pipe, after all this sausage making process, not so much. And what did come out? Anything?
What came out? Basically four major things came out of it. One was that you can't use short term rentals as event venues. So this helps with controlling what we've all heard of, party houses. Now, I won't say there are no party houses in Sedona. There are, and there always have been, frankly. However, because there were always short-term rentals going on under the radar, and we knew that.
So they're looking for a big house with a lot of bedrooms to have a party house in.
That's generally the case. A nice backyard, maybe a pool, you know, something like that. So this says you can't use them as event venues, something you'd have to get a permit for. The second thing, and this is significant, it said when you advertise your short-term rental, whether it's on Airbnb or VRBO or wherever it is, in the ad you have to publish your TPT license number.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is going to be interesting. This law, by the way, has not gone into effect yet. It'll be the end of August, approximately, when it does. We'll see how we do. We're working with our vendor, and the League of Arizona Cities and Towns is a group of obviously all the cities, and there's 91 cities in Arizona. So we count on the League of Arizona Cities and Towns to basically lobby for all of us. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have your own lobbyist as well. You can. But small cities usually very often don't have a lobbyist specifically. So the League lobbies for all of us. And so we have worked with the League on these types of issues over the last 2 or 3 years. And we worked with them to get the part about taxes done. That did happen. And I am chairing a policy committee with the League of Arizona Cities and Towns that dealt with this issue and is going to bring it to the resolution committee and therefore hope with luck get it on the legislative agenda for the next session. Even if we don't succeed in that, we can do something on our own. We pretty much did it outside the resolution committee process before. So we have to find someone who can sponsor a bill that does the things that we think are important. And that would be targeting investor-owned homes, frankly, because those are strictly businesses. I mean, there is no way they're anything but a
business. Right now, they'd be considered a private home, even though they're for-profit businesses.
That's right.
Often owned by somebody out of state.
I don't see any of our current legislation. I could be wrong, and I hope I am. But Sylvia Allen, if you take this to Sylvia Allen, if you take this to Bob Thorpe, if you take this to Brenda Barton, who's...
Well, Brenda's not there.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's Walt Blackman.
Walt Blackman
is our
sorry,
District 6 representative.
So if we're talking to Sandy Moriarty, mayor of Sedona, and she said, oh, you had to remind him of my name. So what's our chances of... Let me step back. While you're thinking about your answer, what I see is everybody winning here. I see businesses winning. I see government winning. I see everybody but the people in the neighborhood. And this is kind of a typical story today in 2019. Politically, everybody's winning except the people are not winning. The people of the various neighborhoods where the Airbnbs are the biggest are the ones that are suffering the degradation to their neighborhood. And government seems to be taking care of itself. They found a way in a couple of years to figure out how to get taxes. Good for them. At least on most of it, and we'll see if the money starts rolling in. Corporations figured out how to keep their investment alive through the governor. And we're talking, just for clarity, Senate Bill 1350, House Bill 1672. 2672. Mm-hmm. Sorry. House Bill 2672. Senate Bill 1350.
And I think the point that I like, Mike, that Sandy made is that people are really complaining and going to the city to do something about this. And the city is being kept from doing it by the legislature.
That's the key.
So you really have to talk to your legislature. So you have to talk to just the people that Mike mentioned. You have to write them, you have to email them, and you have to tell them that if this is bothering your neighborhood. You have to go and try to get this, put some pressure on the state level. The Association of Cities and Towns can do their thing. Sedona can do its thing, but we need individuals, right? If this bothers
you,
if you're not happy about it, talk to your legislators.
And they need to hear from you.
The mayor if you want, but she can't do much about it.
But Sandy is so nice. She didn't even want to correct the political guy on the political show. I mean, Walt Blackman's, and she said, you know, she looked at me like, Brendan Barton had gone a while, man. And you ought to know that because you're, you know, sitting in front of that microphone. Point is, Walt Blackman, some of the others, Sylvia Allen,
Bob Thorpe,
right now are your legislators and will be for the next session.
And Bob Thorpe has benevolently, since he's been behind a lot of this legislation, the worst part of it, is benevolently decided to come to Sedona, right?
Well, as I say, they all run every 2 years.
All right, so now Bob Thorpe is coming to Sedona, and he's going to hold a session.
Yes.
For himself in the city council chambers when? And folks should go to it.
It's July 24th. It's a Wednesday, 3 p.m., probably a couple hours you should count on. It's his meeting. It's not ours. I will be there. Most of the council will be there. So we'll notice it as a meeting, but it's not our meeting. It's his meeting. He simply...
Who's going to chair it? He's going to?
He will.
Okay.
I mean, it's not our meeting. I would hope to show that PowerPoint that I sent to you at that meeting in some form so that people... Because that is very impactful if you can actually see on a map all these red dots and little house symbols and whatnot. And how many there actually are in Sedona. They're certainly in my neighborhood big time. And they're in the chapel big time and many other places, especially where there aren't homeowners associations. So yes, he's going to be there specifically to hear from Sedonans about vacation rentals. So do show up. And the other thing that
give us the date and place again.
July 24th, that's a Wednesday at 3 p.m. at the City Council Chambers. But don't stop there. You need to continue to call your legislators, write your legislators, email your legislators, make appointments to talk to them in person if you can, because legislators do tend to pay some attention at least when their phones start lighting up about an issue. They will ask their office staff, what's coming through on the phones? What's the big issue coming through on the phones today? To see what's going on, especially when they're in session.
Let me ask you this, Sandy. What would you like to see in terms of legislation that you haven't seen? In other words, we've talked about what hasn't happened and the state's prohibit. I don't know why the state would prohibit the regulation of Airbnb.
Well, in, to some extent, it's a private property issue. So many people believe in this state very strongly in private property rights, that you should be able to do whatever you want with your own property. Now, zoning laws already restrict you to some extent, but in this case, they're not, because there's been a specific law passed saying we can't prohibit them. Here's something that everybody needs to understand. Cities and towns are basically, and always will be, creatures of the state. We were created by the state. We were given the power we have from the state. They created us. And we cannot pass anything that's against state law, not just because of House Bill 1487, but just in general, we can't. If something is specifically against state law, we can't pass something different than that.
And this is like the minimum wage that people of the cities have tried to
pass? No, that was an initiative. That was a citizen initiative.
Okay, now that, but I mean, could Sedona
so
have...
So here's, let me give you a good example. Okay. In this last legislative session, Arizona finally, after so many states had already done it, passed a hands-free type of ordinance, state law, saying no
cell phones
in your hand while you're driving. You know, it has to be hands-free. Sedona had done that previously because there was no state law against it. We passed our own. And it's difficult to enforce to some extent. So what you'll hear from your legislators and from the governor is, we don't want a patchwork of regulation across the state. Now, it's a legitimate idea in many ways, especially in the Valley of the Sun, where cities are right up against each other, and one city law is one thing, and you go into the next city, and you barely know you've crossed the line, and it's something else. And hands-free is a good example of that.
You're often not even sure which city you're in.
That's right. That's right. You don't know. So it is a legitimate argument, but I thought it should have been a state law a long time ago and said as much to our legislators 4 years ago, and finally they have passed it.
But, so what do you want people to say to the legislators, Sandy, about what needs to be done in terms of allowing cities and towns to regulate these
businesses? I don't think many people are interested in saying we can't allow a person in their own home to rent out a room.
Right.
Short term, even though it is in some ways a business. But what I do think we want to avoid is investors. Now that was proposed last year in 2672, and it got stripped out before the end of the session. So, and also some rules about occupancy. Only so many people could be in there per bedroom and that type of thing.
And we don't know exactly in the process who's eliminating these or their motivation.
No, you know, it happens very, very quickly. We don't know. Many of you have heard me say government moves at the pace of a narcoleptic snail. Well, when it comes to legislation, that's not true. It can change in 5 minutes from one thing to another.
The strike all system of Arizona.
Not only that.
Means
a
lot.
Yeah. But just a bill like 2672 that wasn't a strike all. It was just proposed, and it had various things in it, and one by one, many of them got stripped away. So.
And you'd have to go through, is there a legislative account of who does what down there? Like who asked this thing to be stripped out?
Well, there probably is, if you want to go to that extent to see it. But it happens so quickly, you really have to be watching closely, and it's hard sometimes to even get to them to tell them what you think. So let's just finish up with what was done by that bill, 2672. So we talked about no event venues and publishing TPT numbers and ads. They also now will have to provide cities with an emergency contact that we can go to if something goes wrong at that place and there's no kind of manager on site. You know, if it's in somebody's home, likely the homeowner is going to do something about it. But in a standalone house that's just being rented every night, there's nobody there. You can't go to the desk and call the desk and say, you know, something's wrong here. So they do have to do that, and that will be some help.
That will be a big deal. That brings them out of the dark. It brings them into the light. Having to put the TPT number on the
ad says
yes.
A good step, and so is the emergency contact.
Yeah, that's a safety issue, Mike.
Yes.
Don't you think?
That's a good idea. It brings them out of the dark.
But it doesn't do a single thing to stop investors from coming in and buying up homes, and that's what they're doing. They're also, I'm not going to get into the specifics, but cities can ask for some data on vacation rentals at the state level, and they have to give it to us. But the three big main things are that most people want to keep in mind is those I just listed. No event venues publish the TPT numbers and ads.
Okay,
and
but shouldn't there be a state law that cities and towns can get a complete accounting of who's having these short-term rentals in their town? I mean, shouldn't the state provide that information as a matter of course?
The state doesn't know either.
So what do you think, Mike? No, they don't know either.
Well, they know who's paying them tax, and that's where we can maybe get some assistance from them. But you know, they're not necessarily sitting there trying to figure out where they are on a map. That's not.
This is a developing issue and a developing story, quite frankly. Sandy Moriarty has done a great job, I think, today to take us a little further. But once again, I'm looking at the agenda of the chapel.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about the house in the chapel area. So I totally understand why people in the chapel area who are next to this house or close by are upset, because to them, and this is one of those things, you can put a sign on a cow that says it's a horse, but that doesn't make it a horse. And it's kind of like that. This is a small motel in their neighborhood. In their residential neighborhood.
Clearly it's a motel in their residential neighborhood.
And it does seem totally absurd that we can't do something about it. But we can't do anything about it. So that's where state law needs to change. We need to be able to stop this sort of thing. I've been interested in this from the beginning. But when I heard about this house that was essentially a motel in a residential neighborhood, that's what really got me going. And I said, you know, the only way we're going to get the state to change anything is to activate people to contact their legislators in
vast numbers. Because if they can build one, they can build three. If they can build one in that neighborhood, then they can build it in any neighborhood.
And having said that, let's not get too hyperbolic about all this. We don't know for sure what's going to happen. One person said last night, it's highly unlikely that this is even going to really work for the owner. They don't think he can make a profit on it. And if that's the case, good. But there's no question that people are buying just a single family home with two or three bedrooms and turning that into a short-term rental.
Right.
And I know of one instance, that I was told of by a citizen across the street from his house. There was a big single family home with two upper floors, wraparound decks, and a third floor, because it's on a hillside, at the bottom, and they turned it into four short-term rentals on the two upper floors, split it into four units, and a manager's quarter in the bottom. Well, at least there's a manager's quarter on site. That's a good thing. But, you know, this is not what... It had been a single family motel.
Yeah.
And was occupied.
Sandy Sedona's been living like this for a long time. You're just here. So you want to say it's okay. Calling Karen Osborne at the city is okay. We're never going to tell you that you can't call her. But as Sandy is saying, the citizen is made, the sausage is made at the state legislature. The city's hands are tied in some ways, and the state legislature are the state's legislators are the people to call if vacation or Airbnb.
And the governor.
Now I do want to add that I want to say, back east, this would be taken care of with health code. We would find a health code violation. So I want to drop this in Sandy Moriarty's ear.
And she's got 30 seconds?
Yes. Yeah. Don't respond. No, you don't want to respond, but take this back to your city people.
We already know.
You already know that.
Right. We can enforce real health threats, but it's hard to prove one. So.
Okay, listen.
Do you have any inspectors to do this?
No, we don't have enough for sure.
You've been listening
with 600 units.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective. Our exciting discussion was about short-term rentals in Sedona. Sandy Moriarty, mayor, was talking to us. We want to thank Democrats of the Red Rocks for contributing to Democratic Perspective and helping keep us on the air. You can do that too, folks. Go to our website, verdevalleyindependentdemocrats.org, verdevalleyindependent.vvid.org, and you can find this show eventually and all our shows. Please take a look at that donation button and see if it kind of warms up and says, hey, come see me, big boy. Thank you. Bye.
been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.